Lori, we're back on the Travel Vertical Podcast. How you doing?
I'm good. I got my flowers right next to me here, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, what a beautiful backdrop you've got there.
Thank you.
I need to do a better job of decorating my background. I think the flowers are a nice touch in your background there.
Well, thanks. I'm looking out over the hills of San Francisco. If you look one direction, you see fog, fog, fog. And you look the other direction and you see blue, sunny skies. And so, you know, we have famously got this microclimate situation here where while the rest of the USA was like burning up last week and it was 104 in London, it was 65 here and we, you know, in the day and in the evening it was 55. So we were getting out our jackets.
Lori, I actually, for the first time in my life, went to San Francisco over the weekend.
No, you didn't, because I didn't get a call.
You know what? It was a quick 24-hour getaway with my wife. We stayed at the Ritz-Carlton right there at Half Moon Bay and flew in on, it was Friday evening around 6:30. And then we left on Saturday evening about 6:30 and almost missed our flight due to It's me. Looking at the wrong boarding pass and going to the wrong gate and waiting for 2 hours at the wrong gate, only to realize we were flying out of E1, not B16, but we made it.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, that was a quick trip. Sounds like most of it was spent at the airport. However, anybody who doesn't know the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay, which is about... 40 minutes south of San Francisco. What a beautiful spot.
Oh, it was amazing. And see, we just wanted a quick break. We were celebrating our 15-year anniversary. And so we left the kids at home with my parents and literally just spent most of our time sitting out on that patio overlooking the golf course and the ocean and just relaxing. And it was wonderful.
Yeah, you're right on the golf course in the ocean. And I don't know if you saw the Scottish bagpiper that salutes the sunset every evening.
You know what? We actually missed that because we had dinner offsite at a really amazing place called Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. And it was, I had the best fried pickles I've ever had. And unfortunately, I missed the bagpiper, but I'll be honest with you, the fried pickles were good enough to where I'm not disappointed.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of fried pickles, but now I know where to go.
Yeah, you got to go try them there at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. It was amazing. But Lori, it really did surprise me that we did not pack jackets in our bags. We thought, oh, we're going to California. It's warm. And it was so cold, we had to get a couple of jackets there at the resort.
Yes. You know, some of the vendors make a lot of money down at Fisherman's Wharf selling, hoodies and sweatshirts.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was 55 degrees when we went on our little bike ride along the coastline.
Exactly. Yes. Well, happy anniversary. And let's talk about digital tourism.
Thank you. Let's do it, Lori. What are you seeing out there this week?
Well, this week we've been writing about, of course, we're writing about jobs and people, which readers love to know. But and we'll talk about some of the great jobs, do a little update there. And at the same time, we did a little roundup here on unexpected things. And the feedback on that has been interesting. People saying, I love reading those little roundups and find out some weird and wacky stuff. So we can talk about some of these as well.
I love talking about weird and wacky stuff. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's start with some weird and wacky stuff. Then what did we see this week? Unexpected news. Oh, and you know, there was a giant typo. It's not a brand new story, but I don't know if you saw the side of the jet from Cathay Pacific, where they were painting the logo on, you know, C-A-T-H-A-Y-P-A, you know, all in caps, and misspelled it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. How can that be? A jumbo typo. But speaking of jets, so did you know that they're building a new supersonic jet? You know, now the Concorde is gone, and it's been gone for a bit. But yeah, they're building a new one, and it's not called Concorde. It's called Boom.
Well, I'd say that's an adequate name for a new superjet, to call it Boom.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the old one was Concorde, because it was a unilateral agreement between, you know, the French and the English and building it at Airbus Industry and maybe the Germans too, a Rolls-Royce engine, you know, a lot of countries working on the technology there together. But the new one, guess where it's going to be built?
I don't dare guess. I'm curious. Where is it going to be built?
Well, I was curious as well. It's going to be built in North Carolina.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah. So that's going to be good. I don't know how long this boom is going to take to get out there. But while we are on the subject of jets and airplanes and airports, there's more news. Did you see that Delta actually flew an empty airplane over to London Heathrow?
No, I didn't.
Why did they do that?
Oh, I was going to ask you, why did they do that? I can't imagine why Delta would do such a thing. I've only ridden on absolutely full airplanes in the last little while.
Yeah. Well, nobody was on this airplane. And the reason is they decided they'd better go over to London Heathrow and pick up 1,000 bags that are lost, because the pile of lost baggage that you've seen in the headlines, I published a picture. It got so huge. And so they just loaded up the empty jet and said, we're going to fly this back to the USA and eventually figure out how to get these bags back to the people.
You know what, Lori, that one hits a little too close to home. I currently have 3 bags from my travels this year that are unaccounted for. That includes even this most recent trip to Toronto and also a trip to Springfield, Illinois. I've had a rough year with baggage, and so I wish they would fly an empty plane for me and go get my bags.
Well, that is really bad luck, Adam, but apparently it's often the case. There are a lot of bloggers writing articles this summer about what to do, what not to do, you know, to when you travel. Like go out first thing in the morning if you can before things get screwed up.
Well, that's advice and blogs I wish I had read a few months ago.
Well, you know, there's probably another blogger going to write now about like make sure you're at the right gate.
Okay, all right, I see what's going on here, Lori. I deserve that.
Walked into that.
I did. Oh, man.
Well, let's talk about some more of the weird and wacky updates. So here's another one. New York City has a new law. And the new law is that starting November, all jobs are going to have to show the salary.
In New York?
Yeah. Do you think that's weird and wacky? I do.
I think that's fascinating, actually. You know, there's been a lot of talk about salary transparency, and there's been a lot of pushback with companies on, you know, being transparent with their salaries and everything. And I think it's interesting. It's a discussion that I'm not saying, oh, I think that law should have been passed. I'm not saying it shouldn't have been passed. But I think it's an interesting discussion because it's a hot button for a lot of people and a lot of organizations. So it's something I'm going to be watching very closely to kind of see what the outcome of that legislation is.
It is interesting. Starting November 1, here's the little blurb I wrote. Employers that are advertising jobs in New York City must include a quote unquote good faith salary range, showing the minimum and the maximum salary for every job, promotion, transfer, and opportunity advertised. The new law applies to employers having 4 or more employees, including the owners, in any location in New York City or elsewhere.
So this is mostly for the recruiting ads for jobs that they're requiring that people have that in the advertisement. Does it also mean that businesses are going to have to publish the salaries of everyone in the organization or no?
No, it doesn't say anything about that. But if you are interested, there's a link to the fact sheet on this thing that I published in the Travel Vertical, and it comes out from the New York City Commission on Human Rights.
Well, Lori, I'm going to read more about that on thetravelvertical.com for sure, because that's a fascinating story.
It is to me. Anyway, this is called Unexpected News. Here's another. By the way, the Travel Vertical lists jobs, as you know, and we don't list salaries. We're not taking any advertising money. So we won't be impacted by this law on November 1st going forward. So continue to send us your job listings. We don't charge. So there's that. Here's another surprising bit of news. the Federal Reserve Board. Now, that's never known to have been a forward-thinking, fast-moving organization, has it?
No, it hasn't.
You wouldn't think. But so they're recommending that we now explore something called CBDC. So I read CBDC and I'm like, what is that? Something about cannabis? No. It is short for central bank digital currencies.
Oh, I've heard some rumblings about this, Lori, that they are thinking about creating almost like a federally regulated Bitcoin competitor. Am I understanding that correct?
Well, I can say sort of yes or no, because I'm not sure I really do understand Bitcoins or NFTs or any of it. But this is the definition here is legally recognized currencies that allow customers access to digital tokens without a commercial bank account. So if you're talking about going around the middleman and the middleman is Bank of America and the like, I'm not sure this is going to pass real fast, you know, because you can imagine the lobbyists. But it does say that there are dozens of other countries who are currently developing CBDC setups.
That's really interesting. That's another one I'm going to watch really closely because, I mean, we're talking what could potentially be a fairly fundamental change in our banking system.
Yes. And, you know, it was unfathomable a few years ago that we'd do away with paper checks, you know, writing a check. Well, look where that, you know, look where, I mean, I hardly ever use cash anymore.
Right.
But checks have been done away with in some countries. You don't use checks anymore in England, for example.
Wow. Well, interesting stuff, Lori. Is there any other unexpected news you wanted to share, or should we look at jobs?
Oh, well, just a few more. Okay. There was one from Costa Rica where, you know, this is a happy planet place, and they are taking Digital Nomad to the next level. So if you've had enough and you just want to pack it in and go to the jungle, they have passed Digital Nomad Law, law number 10008, the final step, it's done. And what that means is that foreign remote workers and their families can come and reside in Costa Rica for a year, extend that for 2 years in total, and pay no income tax, pay no import tax, as long as they can show that they're making $3,000 US per month.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, you can come. So they've taken that to the next level.
Lori, I think that is something that is, I'm amazed that they're doing it because I think it's really forward thinking. It's also the first one I've heard, but I don't think it's going to be the last. I think this remote work environment has really proven that you can work from anywhere. And so these places that have beautiful amenities like Costa Rica does, I think they should be trying to recruit those digital nomads to come help their economy and to come spend money in the destination. I think it's a new audience that is only going to grow because of the way the workforce has shifted.
Yep. Well, the president of Costa Rica agrees with you, and so do I. So lastly, if we can move on to jobs, but the other thing that seems to be a pattern, I mean, I don't know if it's a comeback kid or if it's a new trend that we're seeing here, but I guess it's a comeback kid because if you call it over tourism, it's like, oh my gosh, we've heard of that before, right?
Yeah.
And now what we're seeing, I put together five here, we're seeing a trend. So I'll quickly run through them. France is putting quotas on some of the natural sites, rural, not Paris, but they're talking about places like Mont-Saint-Michel and some of the caves where they can't handle the crowds. Venice is now charging day trippers. So don't come into Venice on a cruise line and then walk around on our streets because we know you're not going to sleep here overnight. You've got a cruise ship. We know you're not going to eat here. You've got free meals on board. So we're charging. Barcelona is going to limit the number of cruise ship arrivals allowed into port every day. And at London Heathrow, they put a daily cap on the number of passengers they're going to allow through the airport every day because they can't handle it. The infrastructure of the airport itself cannot handle it. And Bhutan is tripling its day visit fees to $200 per person. So this is a trend, and we can talk another time about Hawaii and Sedona, you know, and Park City and Cheyenne, Wyoming, but this is a trend.
Yeah. Yeah, super interesting. It's a term that comes up a lot, and I think lots of times when it's referred to, I think it's warranted. And I think a lot of times when it's referred to, it's not. I trust that the research has been done in these destinations to see that, yes, this is an actual issue. And I would imagine that we're only going to have to continue to adjust our travel habits accordingly and make sure we plan ahead a little bit better if these over-tourism situations continue.
Yeah, that's amazing that it's come back so quickly when we know we're still struggling with COVID. So, yes, we can talk about jobs, Adam.
Let's do it, Lori. What's the newest postings out there that you're seeing?
Well, I just put together a handful of them to kick us off here. And the newest one is looking for a president and CEO at the Louisiana Travel Association.
That's a big one.
We recently talked about that, and the leader of the Louisiana Travel Association has gone over to visit Baton Rouge in a full-time job. So that one is open. But look at this fun sort of lineup for jobs right now. Visit Williamsburg in Virginia is looking for a chief marketing officer. Choose Chicago is looking for a marketing manager. NYC and Company is looking for a senior content director. Visit Florida is looking for a communications manager. And Visit California is looking for a content manager and a PR manager.
Now, Lori, it's funny because we've talked about a lot of different job titles. We've talked about the kind of trend of people looking for EDI-related positions, community engagement positions. There's a lot of marketing roles out there right now.
Yes, we have. We've talked about, you know, CEO and executive director and, you know, even fun things like the director of film and creative industries in Visit Dallas. But I just plucked a few of the marketing ones here. You know, yeah, they may not be, you know, like brand new titles that have come about as a result of the COVID aftermath, but I would do any one of these jobs. I mean, they all sound just great to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And remember, for everybody that's listening, this is just a handful of jobs that Lori has kind of handpicked to highlight here. But there's hundreds of jobs and opportunities out there. And so make sure that you go look at all of them on thetravelvertical.com because there's seriously so many behind these five or six that Lori mentioned today.
Yeah. So what we would really like people to do, I mean, if I could write my CTA right now, it would be like, look at them, share them, tell us about yours openings at your place of business, and tell us when those roles are filled. Because it's all free and it's weekly. And we're just trying to keep the industry ticking over nicely. And in any small way that this helps, that's all it's intended to do.
Well, and a reminder for everybody, too, that we don't put the link in the posting because from an SEO standpoint, we would just have consistent expired links on the travelvertical.com when they get filled. And so instead, we put the roles out there, and then we trust that if you are interested in the role, that you're actually going to seek it out and find it. They're readily available, but at least it kind of gives you a list of the opportunities that are there if you're looking to move on or move up.
Yes, and I should say that we're in as well as the DMO jobs, and there are plenty, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds. Aside from that, I'm curating a few of the interesting ones from tourism boards that are not in the USA, but have a position here in the USA, whether it's Hong Kong, New Zealand, Catalan in Spain. And then the vendor ones, there are roles at MMGY, at Miles, at many of the vendors. And then plucking a few of the attractions, there are new jobs coming up this week at the Mall of America, Legoland, SeaWorld, Hershey Entertainment, Hornblower. And then also looking at the transportation side, there are new jobs coming up this week. I will list Cathay Pacific Airways, Norwegian Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean. And then lastly, sports-related jobs like the integrated marketing manager at Chicago Bulls. So there are all kinds of jobs here.
I love it. Well, Lori, what a great service that you provide to everybody to pull and curate all those different job listings. Of course, we don't post the link, but to list all the jobs that are available. And for everybody that's listening, all of those can be found at thetravelvertical.com. Make sure you subscribe to that newsletter, and you'll be able to see these jobs every week. Lori, thanks so much for another great episode.
Thanks, Adam. It was fun to talk.
Absolutely.
And safe travels. Huh? I hope you get your luggage back.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I hope you have a great week, Lori. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to leave our show a rating or a review. It helps us continue to bring you these weekly updates of what's going on in the industry. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.